morning. Welcome to Norwoodville Baptist Church. We're going to start off with singing. Take your blue songbooks and turn to 333. 333. Go ahead and stand up with me as we sing His Way With Thee.
Go ahead and be seated. Isn't it great that we serve a living God? And He is a holy God, and He is a God who loves us. And our God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for each and every one of us, every person in the world. And Jesus Christ wants you to accept Him as your personal Savior. Whoever believes on Him has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow. What a wonderful thing. Let's go ahead and look to our Lord this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for how great You are. I even do pray that we'd let You have Your way with us. We recognize that on our own, we aren't good people. We aren't ones that seek after You with our heart, but yet we recognize that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, so that He might die on the cross for us and pay the penalty of sin. And I thank You that whoever believes in Him, their sins are washed white as snow. We thank You that Jesus Christ took that death penalty for us. We thank You that whoever believes in Him has eternal life. They are born again. And we just thank You so very much for that. We thank You for this local assembly of believers here in Norwoodville. I pray that we'd be a bright, shining light in this community. I pray that You'd work through this assembly in a great way. I pray even as we sing songs of praise to You this morning, as we look into Your Word, I pray that we would be built up, that we'd grow closer together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we'd have that desire to go out and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray that You'd just do a great work here. And we even do pray for those within our assembly that You'd help those who are struggling with sickness. I pray that You'd help those who are struggling with their finances or with their family. But I pray even more that You'd help each one of us to grow spiritually, to become more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that would be the desire of each and every one of us, to become more holy, even as You are holy, to become more loving. Help us to be kind to one another. Help us to forgive one another. I pray that we just have that desire to be growing in the knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray all these things in Your wonderful name. Amen.
Morning. Turn turn with me to John chapter 10 for our scripture reading this morning. John chapter 10, we'll be going through verses 1 through 21. Starting in verse 1, we find, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?"
Turn to number 462. "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us."
Feed us, for our use thy faults repair.
483. Speaking of Christ being our shepherd today, the one who leads us, we'll sing Lead On, O King Eternal. 483. Take our morning offering. If you'll notice, if you have a program in your bulletin there, we're going to be singing 502 shortly. And 502 is a song that is unknown, I think, to all of us, myself included. So the piano for the offertory will be playing number 502 in Heavenly Love Abiding. So if you could, as the offering plate goes by, I know it may be hard to do two things at once, but we'll ask you to go outside of our boundaries today, take on new things, and as the plate goes around, listen to the tune, because we're going to be singing along to that tune 502 after the children come and sing for us. So let's pray for the offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you very much that we are able to gather here together as a local assembly of your sheep. Father, as your word is taught this morning, I pray, Father, that we would see a new aspect and new light on the fact, Father, that you are our good shepherd. Lord, help us to realize what that means and have a deeper understanding of what you seek to communicate to us with that imagery. I pray, Father, that we would be sheep that always comes to the beckoning of our shepherd. Lord, that we would see Jesus Christ as who you truly are, that we would not see the circumstances in life as a reason to doubt you, but, Father, for a reason to run to your safe fold and to be behind the door of yourself that protects us always. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to worship you this morning together. I thank you that you have brought each and every one of us here into this body, this local body, to worship you. I pray, Father, that we would do so in spirit and truth, Lord, not only in our singing, but, Father, also in our giving and in our listening. I pray these things, Father, because you are worthy of all of our worship, every moment of every day. And it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
children's chase class is going to bless us with something they've been working very hard on. And so they're going to come with some Jesus lessons.
Loves me. And as the children sang, you can tell that's unconditionally. And then it's tempered with the joyous thought that Jesus is our loving Savior. He is God. And He shed His blood for us. And yet He still unconditionally loves us. Amen to that. Pastor, I'm sure he's going to speak about shepherding. And shepherding in 2 millennia ago. In this first verse, it says, "In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed?" The imagery that Jesus shows, I'm sure Pastor will talk about it in more detail, but in those times they had a sheepfold, which could have been as simple as some stones set up around like a little perimeter. But there was a little door, not any bigger than this pulpit, I'm sure, where the sheep would go in for the night. and the shepherd would himself sleep in that doorway so that nobody could get in. That anybody that could get in, any intruder, would have to go through the shepherd that cared so much for his sheep. And I think that's really brought out in a spiritual sense in this first verse. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. So let's sing 502. 502 in heavenly love abiding. As we sing this, we're going to go straight into Jesus, I am resting after the third. So be ready for that.
In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safety such confining, for nothing changes here. The storms may roar.
Stand together as we sing before Pastor comes. Fourth verse.
Heaven, lift thy face upon me as I work and wait for thee. Resting neath thy smile, Lord Jesus, Lord's dark shadows flee. Thine is of mine.
so much for participating this morning. I trust it was a blessing. Go ahead and have a chair.
Amen. I think most of our children have already gone down to children's church, but if there's any other children that would like to go down, that would be great. A good time where they can learn the things of the Lord on a little bit lower scale as far as what they can understand. Be sure to look at your bulletins this morning. We are going to have a fellowship this evening. I want to bring that to your attention. And also want to wish a happy birthday to Chris Knox tomorrow. And a couple things that you may want to take note of there. But a lot of other things on the bulletin, make sure you take note of those. But looking forward to looking into God's Word this morning. And God's Word is precious. It is more precious than any silver or gold, any wealth that this world can give us. And we're going to look into it this morning. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we look into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how good you are to us. We thank you for giving us your Word. And through your Word, we can understand the things that you'd have us to do. We thank you that you tell us in your Word, the Holy Scriptures, concerning your Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word. And I pray even as we look in the Gospel of John and we read concerning Jesus Christ, how he is the Good Shepherd, I pray that you'd help us to learn and to understand and to be ever so grateful for who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. So we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. How many of you like to listen to a good story? I think there's probably most of us this morning that enjoys listening to a good story. And a good story has the tendency to draw you in, doesn't it? As you listen to those words that person is saying, and he recounts whatever the story may be, he just draws you into the plot, into the storyline. And he puts you right in the action, right in the middle of the action as far as what he's trying to tell you. And it seems to me that some people are just natural storytellers. As I look over the congregation this morning, I realize we have a number of good storytellers. I'm sure that you probably have had the opportunity either to share a story with somebody sitting next to you, or perhaps you've listened to a story from somebody that is sitting next to you. And we have a lot of good storytellers here. Now, sharing a story about your past experiences is one thing. And there's some people here that have a lot of experiences that they can draw from. But a storyteller doesn't necessarily have to draw from past experiences, does he? There are many stories that can be told that can be just as powerful as a story about our personal experience in the past. Some stories have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. I'm sure that all of us are familiar with stories from our nation's history, stories about, maybe Abe Lincoln or maybe about George Washington or Paul Revere. You're familiar with stories like that. I think all of us, whenever we were younger, whether it's at home or whether it's at school, we've all heard or read fairy tales. How many of you have ever heard of Aesop's Fables? Now, those are rather intriguing. I'm going to just read a few of those for you. But Aesop's Fables, they can have just a short story, but yet they can drive a point home, a truth home, with much force. And there's many of these Aesop's Fables, but I'm going to just read a few of them for you here. The first one is The Fox and the Grapes. The Fox and the Grapes. And it says here, a hungry fox saw some fine bunches of grapes hanging from a vine that was trained along a high trellis, and did his best to reach them by jumping as high as he could into the air. But it was all in vain, for they were just out of his reach. So he gave up trying and walked away with an air of dignity and unconcern, remarking, "I thought those grapes were ripe, but I see now they are quite sour." The Fox and the Grapes. Here's one about the goose that laid the golden eggs. The goose that laid the golden eggs. A man and his wife had a good fortune to possess a goose which laid a golden egg every day. Lucky though they were, they soon began to think that they were not getting rich fast enough. And imagining the bird must be made of gold inside, they decided to kill it in order to secure the whole store of precious metal at once. But when they cut it open, they found it was just like any other goose. Thus, they neither got rich all at once, as they had hoped, nor enjoyed any longer the daily addition to their wealth. much once more and loses all. That is the lesson to be learned. Much once more and loses all. Here's one more, the mischievous dog. I can identify with this one as far as mischievous dogs. There once was a dog who used to snap at people and bit them without any provocation, and who was a great nuisance to everyone who came to his master's house. So his master fastened a bell around his neck to warn people of his presence. The dog was very proud of the bell and strutted about tinkling it with immense satisfaction. But an old dog came up to him and said, "The fewer airs you give yourself, the better." "My friend, you don't think, do you, that your bell was given you as a reward of merit? On the contrary, it is a badge of disgrace." And the lesson to be learned, notoriety is often mistaken for fame. Notoriety is often mistaken for fame. And there's many more stories like that, and they're rather intriguing. Just a small little paragraph, but with a small paragraph, you can really have a strong truth that you're communicating. You can just punch that truth right through. Stories can make a powerful point. And there have been many speakers throughout history, many people that have used stories to get their point across. Now, many of them are historical narratives. Many of them are based in historical reality. But others are illustrations. Others are parables or stories. Things that aren't necessarily historical fact, but yet they're told to get a point across. Now, as we read in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we realize that Jesus was a master storyteller. He used stories or parables to get a truth across to his readers. But oftentimes, those who heard him did not understand the truth of what he was trying to communicate. Even his disciples many times had to ask Jesus, "Explain to us what you mean by this parable." And so Jesus would explain to them. But we come to the book of John. Turn there with me this morning. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And Andy already read for us verses 1 through 21. But as we begin the chapter of 10, chapter 10 of John, we realize in the first verses that Jesus is telling a story. Now, it's not something that really he's referring to as far as a historical fact, but yet it is based as far as in the practice of his day. And Jesus here is telling a story. And he's drawing about something that his hearers, that they would be very familiar with. And he's talking about sheep. And he's talking about a shepherd. And he's talking about thieves and robbers. Something that the people of his day could readily identify with. And so we look at those first three verses of chapter 10, and Jesus is making a distinction between two different types of people, two different groups of people. The first are thieves and robbers. That's one group of people that he talks about. The other group is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, if you would look at a person and you were living in Jesus' day, how would you tell the difference between a shepherd and a thief? Could you necessarily tell the difference by just looking at his outward appearance? You couldn't necessarily tell between a thief and a shepherd just by looking at that person, because very well they may have been wearing the same type of clothes. Could you tell the difference between those two people by just the way the person speaks, as far as how they talk with you? And you can't necessarily tell a difference between a shepherd and a thief just by the way that person talks to you, as far as person to person. So how can you tell a difference between a shepherd and a thief? And Jesus tells us here. Jesus tells us that we can tell the difference between a shepherd and a thief by the way they enter into the sheepfold. That's how you can tell the difference between a shepherd and a thief. How does a shepherd enter the sheepfold? He goes in by way of the gate. And we read in this passage that Jesus tells us the shepherd comes to the fold, and the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper, recognizes him, and he opens the door for him. But how does a thief enter the sheepfold? A thief doesn't use the gate. He doesn't want to be caught. He doesn't want to be recognized for who he is. The thief doesn't use the door. He climbs up over the wall, and he tries to conceal himself. He tries to secretly enter the sheepfold. Now, that's one distinction, but there's also another distinction between a shepherd and a thief. Both of them are going to speak to the sheep. That's pretty much a granted. They're both going to speak to the sheep. But both of them aren't going to get the same response from the sheep. Now, whenever the shepherd talks to his sheep, how do the sheep respond? Jesus tells us in the passage here, whenever the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, they listen to his voice, they recognize it, and then they follow the shepherd. The shepherd knows each one by name. And whenever he comes into that sheepfold, he calls them by name and the sheep respond. There's a relationship. The sheep know the shepherd. The shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd doesn't just drive the sheep from the fold. The shepherd goes before them and he leads them. He doesn't let them run wherever they want to. No, he goes before them. He brings them out into green pastures and to water that will provide for their needs. Now that's how the shepherd calls the sheep and leads the sheep. But what about the stranger or the thief? How will the sheep respond to one that they don't know? And Jesus tells us that thief or that stranger, he won't get the same response with the sheep. The sheep won't listen to him. Instead of following that thief, they're going to run away from him because they don't recognize his voice. And so we find in these first five verses the story that Jesus tells the people about something very familiar to them as far as sheep and shepherds and thieves and strangers. But yet, even after Jesus told them the story, that's probably all that the people thought. Well, that's a nice little story. But they didn't understand the truth behind the story that Jesus told. They didn't understand. Their eyes were blind. Their ears really were deaf to the truth that Jesus was trying to communicate. And so we find in the following verses in our passage, in chapter 10, that Jesus explains to them more clearly in more plain language as far as what Jesus is communicating. But as we look at the first verses, we want to look at what Jesus is communicating, what he is telling the story, why he is telling that, and what the things represent. We look at the thieves, we look at the robbers, we look at the shepherd, we look at the sheep. What do these things represent? Now, as we look at the story, we look at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 10, I think it's rather evident to all of us here as far as who the shepherd is. And Jesus is talking about the shepherd, and he is identifying himself with that shepherd. He is the one who owns the sheep. He is the one that calls them out of the fold by name. He is the one that leads them. And the sheep follow him. And this picture of a shepherd, it perfectly fits the person of Jesus Christ. As we remember previously in the book of John, Jesus tells the people that the Father has given to him certain ones. And all those that the Father has given to him will come to him. And Jesus, the shepherd, he calls his sheep, and notice it is his own sheep, and his own sheep follow him. They hear his voice, the sheep do, the people, the sheep are representing Jewish people that are given to Jesus by the Father. These sheep hear his voice because they have been given to him by God the Father. Now we recognize, yes, the shepherd is Jesus Christ. The sheep are certain ones from the nation of Israel. But what about the thieves and the robbers? Now I think Jesus here is identifying the thieves and the robbers with the religious leaders of his day, with the Pharisees, with the priests, with the scribes. As we look at this, we recognize that in a way, yes, these Pharisees and these priests and the scribes, they should have been shepherds for their people, Israel. That's what they should have been. These Pharisees, these religious leaders, should have been shepherds. They should have been caring for the people. They should have been guiding them and leading them in the ways of truth revealed in the Scriptures. That's what they should have been doing. They should have been caring for them. But instead of caring for them and having their interest as far as being their number one priority, what were they doing? They were thinking about themselves. They were thinking about how they could use the sheep or abuse them or do whatever to the sheep in order to get something for themselves. They were taking advantage of the sheep, and they were doing it for their own selfish advantage. Yes, the religious leaders, they should have been shepherds to Israel, but instead, they're nothing but thieves and robbers. Yes, they may have called to the sheep, but all the sheep did was run away from them. They didn't follow the thieves and the robbers. They followed the true shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. What we recognize here as we read verse 6, the people didn't understand the story that Jesus was telling about the shepherd and the sheep and the thieves and the robbers and the strangers. They didn't understand. But we look at the following verses now, verses 7 through 21, really 7 through 18, and Jesus is really going to lay it out plain as far as what he wants to communicate. He's laying it out very plain here. We look at the following verses. We want to narrow in on verse 7 right now. And we notice here a shift in the imagery. We find in verse 7, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" I am the door of the sheep. Previously, Jesus had called himself the shepherd. And now he is calling himself the door of the sheep. Now we recognize a door is something that keeps an enclosure safe. It shuts it off. And that is the way of entry or the way of exit as far as that enclosure. Now even as Stephen mentioned, oftentimes in the ancient Near East, the shepherd himself would act as a door for that sheepfold. And that shepherd himself would act as the door. Now whether this is what Jesus is thinking of exactly as he calls himself the door, I'm not sure if he's thinking as far as a shepherd who is the door, or he's just thinking of some other type of a door. But it is beyond a doubt that Jesus here is saying, "I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep." Whenever he calls himself the door, he is saying that he is the only way. He is the only way. Even as Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is the only way for the sheep to come in and to go out and find those green pastures. He is the source of life. We look at verse 10 in the same chapter. "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." It is only through Jesus, that door of the sheep, that true life, that true protection, that salvation may be had for the sheep.
Amen.
We find here, yes, Jesus is the door, but he also gives here a contrast. He gives a contrast in these verses. He once again talks of those thieves and those robbers. He says that all who ever came before him were thieves and robbers. And I think Jesus here may very well have been thinking of all of those in the past that had claimed to be the Messiah. All those who in the past had claimed to be the Deliverer. Yes, they had announced a deliverance, a salvation for the people. But what happened? For all of those in the past who had announced that they were the Messiah, or that they were the one that would deliver the people, what did they do? They ended up leaving the people disillusioned because they couldn't follow through with what they said. Instead of doing anything good for the people, for the sheep, they're interested in themselves. They're thinking about selfish gain. And they used and they abused the sheep so that they could get their own agenda. It seems like such men, yes, they may gain a following, and indeed they oftentimes do. And it seems like they often succeed in their enterprises. But in the end, it will end up to nothing. It won't come to anything. We look at Acts chapter 5, we read about certain ones like this. Acts 5 verses 36 and 37. "For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed." So we recognize that these ones who claim to be the Messiah, these ones who claim to be a deliverer, when in reality they're just thinking of something for themselves, do they ever lead their followers to life? Do they ever provide them with what they have promised? And the answer is no. And oftentimes these so-called messiahs, these false messiahs, they end up being killed. And then their followers are scattered. Yes, men may follow false messiahs, but Jesus tells us here that the sheep that are in His fold, of which He is the door, His sheep will not follow those false messiahs. They will not hear those false ones, those thieves and the robbers. Jesus' sheep will not be deceived by these false messiahs. Jesus, He is the door. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives salvation. But what do these thieves and robbers give? Yes, their aim in life isn't to give life. No, it is to steal, and it is to kill, and it is to destroy. So we have a huge contrast here between the thieves and the robbers, and between Jesus, who is the door of the sheep. And so now we come to verses 11 and following. And once again we find a change in the imagery, I believe. Jesus, once again, takes up that picture of a shepherd that we saw, first of all, in verse 2. But Jesus is no ordinary shepherd. He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And He says that the Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Now, what is it like to be a shepherd? Now, we don't really have much experience with that. And even those who are shepherds today don't do it the same way that they did it 2,000 years ago. Now, we recognize in Jesus' day that being a shepherd wasn't an easy thing. It truly was a man's job to be a shepherd. It took hard work. There was a lot of walking. There was a lot of danger involved. It took bravery and skill. We look at David. David was a shepherd. And what did he have to confront when he was taking care of his father's sheep? We read in 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35, David says, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." So being a shepherd, it wasn't an easy thing. There were dangers involved with being a shepherd, even as we see in David's life. He had to face things that we never would want to face. He had to face the bear and the lion. There are dangers to those sheep. Now, there were many other shepherds, besides David, that had to face similar dangers. And a good shepherd was willing to go to any length to keep his sheep safe. And there perhaps were even some, no doubt, that gave their lives for the sheep. But yet, shepherds, normal shepherds, they wouldn't just go out and intentionally give their life for their sheep. Yes, they would protect their sheep, and in the process they may lose their life, but that wasn't their primary purpose as far as giving their life. They wanted to stay alive so they could further protect the sheep. They wanted to care for them. But Jesus, yes, He says He is a good shepherd, but He is a unique shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And He says that He lays down His life for the sheep. He didn't lose His life just by some freak accident. He didn't lose His life just because of some unforeseen danger when He protected the sheep. That's not how He lost His life. Jesus knew what was going to happen to Him in the future. He knew that the cross was awaiting Him. And He knew that He must give His life for the sheep. He must die on the cross. Amen. Now, it's not something that He looked forward to. It's not as if He was just rubbing His hands together and saying, "Wow, I really want to die on that cross." It is something that really caused pain within Him. It is something that He really did not want to do as far as going through that pain and the misery. But yet He realized that was the only way that He could truly care for the sheep. It was by laying down His life for the sheep that He would provide salvation for them. That's the only way they could have true life. So if Jesus would have run from that cross, then that truly would have been selfishness. If He would have said, "No, I won't die on the cross for the sheep," He would have shown Himself to be not a good shepherd. But Jesus laid down His life voluntarily. And it is through His death that the sheep have eternal life. What love of the Good Shepherd. What love Jesus displayed to us. Now there's a great difference between a good shepherd, the one that Jesus is, and the one who is just hired to take care of the sheep. We look at verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 10. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So there's a big difference between the good shepherd and a hireling, just someone who is a hired hand. For a hired hand, he's just doing his job. There's not a close relationship between him and the sheep. His care for the sheep is just rather superficial. He just wants to get his money. Okay, that's really what he's doing this for, so that he can support himself. His care for the sheep has limits. Yes, he'll do certain things. He'll take them to pasture. He'll lead them to water. But whenever that wolf comes along, what's that hired helper going to do? He's not going to give his life for the sheep. He's going to run away and save his own life. And just let the sheep be scattered. He abandons the sheep. But Jesus is not a hireling who is taking care of the sheep. He's not going to run away when danger comes. He didn't run away from that cross. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says in verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There is that relationship with the sheep. Jesus owns them. He knows them, each by name. And the sheep know him. We saw previously, yes, the shepherd calls his sheep by name, and Jesus does that with us. The sheep respond to him because he is their shepherd. There is that mutual knowledge between the shepherd and the sheep. Now we look at verse 15, we find also Jesus telling us that there's a mutual relationship between him and his Father. And it's because of that relationship, that knowledge between him and his Father, it is because of that perfect knowledge that Jesus even lays down his life for the sheep. It is because of that knowledge that the good shepherd and that the Father has, it's because of that mutual knowledge that there is that mutual knowledge between Jesus Christ and the sheep. Now up to this point, as we read through this passage, Jesus has been talking about certain sheep. And those sheep are Jews from the nation of Israel. But now we come to verse 16, and we recognize that there are other sheep besides the sheep of the house of Israel. We read in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. There aren't just those Israelite sheep. Yes, there are Israelite sheep that he will bring from the fold of Judaism, but there are also other sheep from another fold. And those sheep are those Gentiles. And we can even identify ourselves, if you are a Gentile this morning, we are part of this fold. But notice, Jesus doesn't keep two separate flocks of sheep, does he? He doesn't have two separate folds. He takes from both folds. From both flocks, there's the flock of the Israelites, those who believe on him from the nation of Israel. He takes those out, and he also takes out from the Gentile nations. And notice what he says concerning them in verse 16. He doesn't say there's going to be two separate ones. He says, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And Jesus here is looking forward to the day of Pentecost, whenever the church is instituted. And that is whenever there is one body, the body of Jesus Christ, and one shepherd. There no longer is a distinction between Jew and Gentile, between slave and free. A wonderful promise. He is the good shepherd, not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. And he's looking ahead to that day when the church would be established and he would be the one shepherd of the church. Amen. Yes, Jesus gives his life for all the sheep. Not just some of the sheep, for all the sheep. Not just for one group, but for all. And it is because of that act of obedience, of giving his life, that the Father loves him. We read in verses 17 and 18, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. We look at the Trinity, at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there is an eternal bond of love between all the members of the Trinity. And Jesus refers to the bond of love between God the Father and Himself, God the Son. And it says that the Father loves the Son because the Son is obedience to the Father. The Son never once disobeyed the Father. Not even in the face of that ugly crucifix, or the ugly cross, the crucifixion that He was looking toward. Even whenever the Father said, "You must die on the cross," Jesus Christ, He obeyed. He didn't even think about disobeying the Father. Because Jesus knew that through His death, the Father would be glorified in the greatest of ways. But Jesus' death, it wasn't an end in and of itself. It's not as if Jesus thought, "Well, I'm going to die and that's it." Jesus knew whenever He laid down His life, He would be able to take it up again. He didn't die just to die and that was it. Not by any means. He gave His life so that He could take it again. He knew that He would rise again. And in rising again, He gave life to the sheep. He gave life to those sheep who know His voice. We notice here the wonder of Jesus Christ. No one forced Jesus Christ to die. No one took Jesus' life away from Him. Jesus laid it down of His own. It was an act of love, a loving act of obedience that Jesus did for the sheep and for the Father. Jesus had just told a story about the shepherd and the sheep and the robbers and the thieves. And the people didn't understand it. So Jesus explains even more as far as the truth of who He is and the truth of others who had come before Him. But yet we find the people, many of them, were not willing to accept the truth of Jesus. We look at verses 19 through 21. There is division like so many times before. "Therefore there is a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, 'He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to Him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" So some people, whenever they heard what Jesus was saying, they thought, "Well, that man is just a crazy demoniac. He is just someone that the devil is using." And they thought, "Why are you even listening to someone like that? He's just a crazy guy." But others, they listened to His word and they recognized what Jesus was saying. They weren't the words of some crazy guy who was possessed by a demon. They thought back to that miracle that Jesus performed in giving sight to the one who had been born blind. And they recognized a demon-possessed person could not do what Jesus did. So some rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected Him outright and they slandered Him. And they had the desire to kill Him. But others thought of Jesus. They looked at Him and they realized there is something special about this Jesus. They recognized, yes, He is the Good Shepherd. Yes, some believed in Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, He gave His life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, He came to seek and to save those who are lost. But yet it is so sad to see so many people in the world turning their back on Jesus Christ. Turning their back on that message of salvation. There are so many who love the darkness rather than turning to Jesus Christ, who is the light. Jesus Christ loves the world just as much as He ever did. Jesus Christ loves you this morning. And He gave His life for you so that you might live. Jesus Christ wants to be your good shepherd. The question is, have you heard His voice? Have you heard His voice? And do you know Jesus even as He knows you? I encourage you this morning, turn to Jesus again. Recognize Him as the Good Shepherd. Be saved from your sins. Believe on Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Your sins will be washed white as snow. Jesus Christ is a loving shepherd. He is the one who leads us along life's journeys. He is the one who knows what is best for us. He is the best leader we could ever have. Are we following Jesus Christ? We thank You, Lord, for giving us the Good Shepherd. We thank You that the Good Shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. Lord, help us to love You as You have loved us. And help us to obey You even as Jesus obeyed You. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And that the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep. I even do pray for the salvation of lost souls. I pray that You'd be glorified in a great way as men and women, as boys and girls, come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from sin. I pray that even You would open the eyes of the blind. I pray that the sheep would hear your voice. So I do pray that in all these things that you'd be glorified. Help us to love Jesus Christ with all of our heart. And we recognize that if we love Jesus Christ, we will obey Him. So help us to study the Word. Help us to live the Word. Help us to live lives of holiness for you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close and sing 461. 461, He leadeth me. We'll sing the first verse and then the second after the invitation. 461. Let's sing.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought of words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Have you recognized Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd? Are you following Him? First of all, have you believed in Him as your Savior from sin? Have you accepted that free gift of salvation? If you haven't, you can do that right now where you're at. You can believe on Jesus Christ and your sins will be forgiven. You'll be given eternal life. If you are a born-again believer, are you following Jesus Christ? He is our shepherd, our good shepherd. And He wants us to be following Him no matter what. And how do we know what Jesus wants us to do? By reading His Word. Are we reading His Word? Are we obeying it? Are we living it day in and day out? Are we following Jesus Christ? Let's go ahead and sing stanza number 2.
This evening, we enjoy more worship together, more from God's Word, and also fellowship afterward. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You sent Your Son, Father, and that He had all the wisdom of His Heavenly Father, Lord, that He is able to clearly demonstrate the relationship between Himself and us, Him as the Good Shepherd, as the loving Shepherd, and us as the sheep. Father, I pray that we would not be obstinate, but Father, that we would be sensitive to hear the call of our Shepherd's voice. I pray, Lord, that we would be humbled, realizing Your greatness and Your care for us. In our inability, Father, to care for ourselves, let us always look to You, our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd, to lead us to the streams of spiritual water, to lead us to Your Word, so we may be nourished to grow strength and to grow and be strengthened in You and in this life, Lord, that we may be able to glorify You more and more as we come to a closer and more meaningful obedience to You every day. And Father, I pray that we would find the accompanying joy of fellowship with You to be sweet, sweeter than anything this world can give us. I pray that You would send us out, Father, with this new insight. And Lord, I pray that we would take it to heart with joy, knowing that we have come to know You better. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.